Dave from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
Hey, Darren. Happy Halloween. How you doing?
I'm good. Happy all post-Halloween to you too, good sir.
Yes.
How was it? Was there any trick-or-treaters, any revelers, any toilet paper eggings?
No, I don't get any of that in my apartment complex. We don't really have many kids here, and I've never gotten trick-or-treaters. So I'm at the point now I don't even expect them. So,
excellent.
Yeah. What about you?
No, the same thing. I mean, I used to be big into Halloween back in the day when I was a younger man, when I wore a younger man's clothes.
Right.
But like nowadays, me and the wife just kind of sit home and just watch TV and cuddle and stuff. So yeah, nothing much here. No trick-or-treaters came. It was just an ordinary day.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're slipping into old man mode quite nicely here.
Yeah, we're boring suburbanites now.
Yeah, pretty much. But I mean, now that Halloween is gone, now we have the most terrifying of holidays coming up, the election day.
That was lightning going off.
Oh, I thought you exploded. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, no, that was lightning because Election Day is so ominous.
Yeah, this is the episode we're doing before the election. I'm a little on edge. I don't mind telling you.
Yep.
And I guess depending on what happens this Tuesday, we'll kind of determine how next week's episode will be, how the tone of that will go down. So
you mean the next episode of SNL or the next episode of this podcast or both?
Well, both actually. I mean, SNL and the SNL Nerds. Like, either it'll be a little bit more upbeat podcast for us, or you might hear two grown men sobbing and weeping uncontrollably for an hour and change.
Yeah, it's just going to be us working out the details of our suicide pact.
This is the first I'm hearing of that.
Yeah, no, that was part of the contract when we first started this podcast that you signed. You agreed to a suicide pact. I'm sorry you had to find out this way, but you really should have read the fine print.
I'm going to have to make a call to the non-productive law team about this, because this is all unbeknownst to me, so.
Okay, well, you know, we'll tackle that when the time comes.
Okay, I see. All right, so besides tackling that, let's tackle this, the newest SNL episode that came out last night.
Yes, it's season 46, episode 5, John Mulaney hosting, The Strokes musical guesting from October 31st, 2020.
That's right, it's a Halloween episode on Halloween, and SNL rarely does this. They put out, I thought the last episode they put out on Halloween was the now infamous Fear episode, which if you want to go back to the archive, listen to our musical performance episode, you can hear about Fear and how they really brought the house down during that episode. Like, if you're not
literally
familiar with it. Yeah. Like, if you're not familiar with when the punk group Fear played on SNL, look into it. It is something else. But no, actually, I looked into it a little bit more. The last time they did a Halloween episode on Halloween back in 1992 with host Catherine O'Hara and musical guest 10,000 Maniacs.
Wow.
That sounds like a great lineup. That's actually like a pretty good show.
I'd forgotten that Catherine O'Hara had ever hosted. I don't think I remember anything about that show specifically. 10,000 Maniacs, very 1992 musical guest.
Yeah. These are the days.
Yes, great song. Great song.
Yeah, great song. So, so this is probably, this is the first time since 92 that they've done an episode on Halloween. And, John Mulaney, fourth time hosting, The Strokes, mm-hmm. fourth time musical guesting. So this is the 4 for 4 for both.
Wow, that's a big serendipity there.
Yeah, the stars aligned. The blue moon was up in the sky this day.
Yes, yes. So we started out, as you might expect, with a political cold open. It was a holiday message from Joe Biden because we're all done with the presidential debates. So what else was there to do but have Joe Biden directly address the nation?
Right. So it's like him giving sort of a fireside chat, but he's you know, talking to the nation, saying, hey, it's Halloween for some Trump voters. This is the only time they'll wear a mask. Ha ha ha. Then he says he's very confident that he'll win because the poll numbers say he'll win. And, like, poll numbers are wrong like that only once in a blue moon. And, of course, yeah. We did have a blue moon this year. And, of course, he looks out the window and he sees a actual blue moon. And he's like, oh, well, that's troubling.
Yeah, I did a little reading up on what a blue moon was this week because we did have one on Halloween. And it's apparently when you have a second full moon in a month.
Oh,
so nice. that is what a blue moon is, and it doesn't, of course, doesn't happen very often. So,
all right, far out. I did not know that. Look at we teach you here. We're about science. We're about SNL.
We entertain and we educate.
That's right. We're like a school, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Consider this like your Zoom schooling.
Yeah, just put your kid in front of this podcast. Same thing as third grade.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, because right. That is our level of emotional maturity.
Yep, sure. Well, with one of the sketches, we'll get to that.
But then the opening, it segged into a rewriting of Edgar Allan Poe's famous poem, The Raven. You know, quote the Raven, nevermore. And we had Kate McKinnon reprising her role as Hillary, and they had quote the Clinton we lost before.
Right. So throughout the sketch, it's just Joe saying he's positive, everything is, the stars are aligned. He's going to win. Like everything says it's good. He's got it locked up. And then it's just people coming in saying, well, we thought we had it locked up before and we didn't. We thought we thought Hillary had it locked up. She didn't. We thought Al Gore had it locked up with Bush and Kerry. We thought that was locked up and it wasn't. So it's a lot of don't count your chickens before they hatch type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, I can understand and I can relate to because it's, yeah, even if it looks like it's a sure thing or at least a reasonably sure thing, there's still that nervousness because, you know, partly because in the last presidential election, yeah. I mean, out of nowhere, just Donald Trump wins the whole thing. And,
yeah. I know. I try not to think about it, but
yeah.
I understand, like, with the sketches, like, they want us to make sure we're not too cocky. They want us to, like, prepare us for the worst. But at the same time, I'm like, I gotta, dude, I'm hanging on by a thread here. I need some positive thoughts here. So
yeah, yeah.
So then, of course, Hillary Clinton said, well, your real advantage is you're not a woman, you're a man. Then we also have Mikey Day coming in as Nate Silver.
Right. From 538.com.
Yes, exactly. And he predicted that, you know, Hillary would win last year, but he said, I've been wrong before, quote the Silver.
Yeah.
And then he, I think he gives like a little example about like how the odds of Trump winning again are like the odds of the number one rolling up on a die twice.
Oh, yeah, and he does several rolls of the die, and, of course, it keeps coming up as one.
And then he said, like, you know, electoral or college tie, that's not even a choice on this die. How did that happen?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this was all right. This was cute. Didn't blow me away. It was fine. It was better than the debate sketches have been.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'll give it is that it's way shorter than all the other cold opens. This clocked in at 7.5 minutes, which I think is perfect.
I could have gone even a little shorter, but yeah, 7 minutes, it's certainly better than 9 or 12 or 13 or whatever they've been doing, you know?
Yeah, and I think with these, like, for one thing, like I said, it's like it was shorter, and like I think it flowed a little bit better, too. There weren't any, like, lags or parts where it felt like it was kind of middling, and even, like, when it felt like it was, they kind of switched out another person to, like, keep the momentum going. Like, after Nate Silver did his thing and said, well, I'm going to leave because I think our country is haunted. Then they had like Keenan and Chris come in as Lil Wayne and Ice Cube, who are two rappers who said they would support Trump because of taxes. That's disheartening. And then, of course, we had, you know, Maya come in again as Kamala, as we I've learned recently it's pronounced Kamala, like Kamala.
Yeah, one of our followers on Twitter was nice enough to correct us and and point out, yeah, you guys have been mispronouncing her name on the podcast, and which we didn't mean to do, but yeah, right. we're bad with pronunciations, you guys.
Yes, Hulk not good with words. I've said this time and time again.
This is true.
So yeah, then they have Kamala come in. Then they had Beck as Mitch McConnell, of course, come in. And, of course, they did the joke about his, you know, disfigured, gross hands. They had Biden say, hey, what's wrong with your hands, lobster boy? And he said, well, my blood hates me so much that it's trying to leave my body. So,
I mean, I can't find the lie. That yeah. That sounds accurate to me.
That sounds scientific. Yep. I'd go with that. And, yep. And yeah. So, that basically, it kind of wraps up with them saying, you know, it looks good, but, like, at the same time, don't be complacent, you know, vote, and, like, let's not count a chicken before our hats. Let's not celebrate this win just yet, because we did that before. If you remember the, was it the, well, I'm blanking on his name. All right, I'm stuttering. Hold on.
Let me even know what you're going for, buddy.
Okay. Lin-Manuel Miranda. There it is. God damn it.
Okay.
Sorry about that, guys. I don't know. My brain left my body. My brain hates my body that much. Like the Lin-Manuel Miranda episode where he hosted and he did that little kind of taunt in the cold open where, you know, he sang the Never Gonna Be President song in front of a picture of Trump. And apparently, you know, that's... Oof.
Was that right before Trump was elected?
No, yeah. I think it was the episode before.
Okay.
He was basically taunting Trump, saying, hey, you're never going to be president. And then the next episode, we get Kate McKinnon playing Hallelujah. So I think with this episode, they kind of maintain that tone of, it looks good, but please don't get complacent. Please prepare for the worst. Hunker down. There's actually a couple other sketches and a little bit of Mulaney's monologue that kind of takes on that tone of let's hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
Yeah. And by the way, if you happen to be listening to this episode on Monday or Tuesday, please go vote.
Yeah. For the love of God, vote, please, man.
Vote. Vote, of course, go vote in person. And there are actually a number of states where you can register on the day of and vote. Give me a minute. I think I can find a list for it if I can find that specific infographic.
All right. Well, while you do that, let's talk about the monologue. Boom. We got Mr. John Mulaney in a suit, handheld mic, telling jokes. Bing, bang, boom.
What more do you need? What more do you need?
Yeah, and of course, as he always does, a lot of his jokes are very New York-centric. A lot of Andrew Cuomo jokes, which I'm pretty sure not a lot of the people outside of the tri-state area will get, but we appreciate.
Yeah. I mean, we were seeing those Andrew Cuomo briefings. Okay, I have the list here. Before we get too far into the John Mulaney monologue, you can register to vote in person on Election Day in California, Colorado, District of Columbia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Iowa, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, Nevada, New Hampshire, Utah, Vermont, Washington State, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. So if you live in one of those states, you can register to vote in person on Election Day.
So yeah, so go to it, folks. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Rock the vote. Vote or die. Vote,
yeah.
Vote. Votio dote.
Yes. Okay. Darren's just speaking in tongues now, so let's go back to the show.
Yes.
John Mulaney, he points out, like, you know, I'm hosting for the fourth time. It's the most anyone's ever hosted. So.
This is it, guys.
And he talked about how, you know, you should be wearing masks, but the thing he doesn't like about wearing masks is that it prevents you from overhearing interesting conversations in New York City, which I thought that was a neat take. Yeah. I like the description of the guy he heard on his cell phone, who was just lying, like, oh no, I'm way uptown. And then he like winks at John Mulaney.
Yeah, it's like, oh, best guy ever.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. And like, as you said, he was talking about the daily press conferences of Andrew Cuomo.
Right, exactly. And like how it kind of went into, you know, he kind of painted Andrew Cuomo as this kind of, you know, Italian good fella type of type, and how he's having arguments with his wife about bringing the kids to see their grandma. And it's, I believe there's one joke where he says, where it ends with him saying, hey, if you bring my kids anywhere near my grandma's mudroom, I will break your neck and bury you in the Rockaways.
Mm-hmm,
which, as a New Yorker, I appreciate, because the Rockaways doesn't get that much love. So so kudos to him for giving a shout out to the Rockaways.
I also liked how he said, excuse me, on November 3rd, there is an elderly man contest where we choose our favorite of the elderly men. excuse me. And he made a point on how no matter which way the election goes, certain things won't change. Jane Lynch will continue to book lots of projects. And when she does, she will deliver.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when he said that joke, that kind of, I guess, bruffled me a little bit. Saying, like, I mean, because, like, I know a lot of comedians have that take on. It was like, no matter who you vote for, it's going to stay the same. The rich is going to stay rich. The poor is going to stay poor. And, I mean, I get it. But then part of me is like, well, John Mulaney, like, you're surrounded by people wearing face masks and are behind, you know, plexiglass partitions. I'd say that's a pretty big change.
So it bristled you a little bit?
A little. Like, I don't know, maybe... I don't want to say Red is tone deaf, but I mean, I understand, like, you know, comedians for the most part have to be kind of, you know, bipartisan or whatever. But I don't know, when he said it's maybe sounded a little flippant to me. I don't know. Maybe that was just me.
I get where you're coming from. I don't know if it was really coming from a place of privilege. I mean, I really think he put those things in just as a lead up to the Jane Lynch joke. So,
yeah, I guess so. But then he had that joke about his 94-year-old Nana voting, and that kind of won me back too. I thought, like, all right, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, and I like the line, "You don't order for the entire table when you're about to leave the restaurant."
Yeah, that's a pretty. I was like, oh, all right. All right, I'm back in Mulaney. You got it.
That was really good. And also, he did this amazing transition from the Jane Lynch stuff into talking about sleepovers and just like the weird dynamics that you get in when teenage girls have sleepovers, which I was just really impressed by the transition. He just pivoted to this completely different topic and he did it so smoothly. It's hardly noticeable.
Yeah. Like as he was doing it, I was like, wait, what are sleepovers? What does that have to do with anything?
Right. And I just thought that was pretty amazing. And also, just like the dynamics he was talking about, I thought was pretty amazing. Because as far as I know, John Mulaney is not a parent, is he?
No, he's married, and him and his wife have a dog.
Okay, yeah. So he doesn't have any kids. But I just was like, this is so well observed that I find it hard to believe that he is not the father of a teenage daughter.
No, I mean, I'm assuming he maybe got some insight from watching his friends who have kids, or I don't know, neighbors, or, you know, something like that. But
yeah, I don't know, but I was just like, that's really, really cool. It was just so well done.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Mulaney's a pro, but as far as I know, he doesn't have kids. So yeah, this is all come. Yeah. I don't know where he got all this kind of insight from, but it's pretty well done.
Yep, it was great. I mean, it's, you know, it's John Mulaney doing stand-up for 9 minutes. How can you not love it?
I don't see how you can.
If you don't love it, you're a garbage person. I'm just going to say that.
I'll co-sign on that.
Okay. Yeah, people who don't like John Mulaney, garbage people.
That's right. We don't need you. Amps gray.
Yeah, we don't like you.
Hit the bricks, sister.
That's right. Hit the bricks.
Hit the bricks. Well, please, like, rate and subscribe before you hit the bricks.
Yes, please. So next we had our first sketch, cinema classics, The Birds, talking about Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds with Kenan Thompson as the unnecessary host, Reese DeWatt.
Yeah. Yeah, so of course it's Kanan, you know, he of course he's like introducing another segment of the birds, not another segment, but like this part of the bird that was like cut from the original movie starring Tippi Hedren. Kate plays Tippi Hedren, and of course it's a scene where she runs into a phone booth calling right. the cops saying the birds are everywhere, and like, and then they have this really elaborate, like the props department kind of went ham on this episode, because like you see all of these like seagulls on strings just kind of smashing into the phone booth that Kate is in.
Right, right.
Pretty elaborate.
Yeah, yeah. And she calls up the sheriff, who's played by John Mulaney, and he's a bit incredulous. He's like, well, are these like predator birds, like hawks or falcons? And she's like, no, they're like seagulls, like the things that pick up French fries on the beach.
Right, and then they cut to a scene where like the birds set a gas station on fire. Mm-hmm. And Kate's like, oh my God, they set a gas station on fire. And John Mulaney just says, how?
Yes. I mean, this was really fun because I feel like it arose out of John Mulaney watching the birds and just questioning all the logic. And it really worked for me because I had the same logic issues when I first watched the birds. If you haven't seen that Hitchcock movie, it uses kind of dream logic to it, because you never find out why the birds are going berserk.
Yeah, they say that too in the throughout the sketch, saying like they never clarify why the birds are attacking today, like this day. Like there's no, and that they never say it at all in the movie, right? They never say, "Oh, this yeah. is it like a allegory for something? Does it mean something, or is it just a bunch of birds decide today's the day to attack this town?" Like,
yeah, I mean, it's kind of like what they say in the sketch. It's like, I think, an allegory for nature gone amok or something, you know?
Yeah, and so throughout the sketch, there's also a part where Kate's in the phone booth saying, oh my God, one of the birds got a glass cutter and is cutting his way through the phone booth. And we see like a little puppet bird hand cutting
yeah.
like a hole in the glass. And then she's like, oh my God, now that bird has a knife. And then the bird has you see like a puppet hand bird kind of poking a knife through the hole. Like it's almost like an episode like Toonces level.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I liked it, got more and more absurd. One of the birds moons them and lays an egg in the phone booth. and then she's like, no, the birds have picked up turtles to use as battering rams. And then the turtles are throwing sandwiches at them. And then the turtles learn to fly. And this was fun, partly because like Kate just did a killer Tippi Hedren impression. I love her just going, the birds, they just birded man to death.
Now it's a birded is a verb now.
Yes.
And there was like another scene that I really liked where John Mulaney, him and Kate are in the phone booth trapped together, and like they're being bombarded with birds and turtles and sandwiches.
Yes.
And I believe at one point Kate said, oh my God, is this a lesson about man's lack of respect for nature? And then John said, I don't know. Just kiss me. And Kate's like, what? No, this is not that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun.
But a fun, silly sketch all around. I dug it.
Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, for me, the thing that always takes down these cinema classic sketches is I feel like Kenan makes too much of a meal out of the Reese DeWatt stuff, and so they overwrite it, and he goes way over the top in performing it. It's not about him. He's just supposed to intro the thing and get you in and out between the scenes, and they make too much of a meal out of it.
Hmm. All right, I can see that.
You know,
I see what you mean. Like, I mean, I kind of get a kick out of it just because, you know, Kane is just so good at like chewing up the scenery and whatnot. But I understand, like, he's maybe taking a little bit of the focus away from the bird sketch, which is like the
yeah. That's my objection to it. I felt like he was pulling focus and he's making too much of a meal out of it. And you don't need to do that. You just need to. You know, it's not like you're not John Lovitz doing Tales of Ribaldry. That adds something to the sketch. Here, I feel like it would have been fine if you just had somebody just doing like a straight intro and then let the sketch be the absurd part.
Fair enough. The birds weren't raised right, J. John.
They weren't.
But yeah, so far, you know, the sketch works for me. So far, so good for this episode, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And now we stroll into our next segment. Strolling pre-tape.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not giving that to you.
Oh, come on. That was great. Come on, judges.
So the next sketch is Strolling.
I'm like John McEnroe now, just angry. Like, come on, what are you talking about? That was in bounds.
Too easy. I'm not giving it to you. No.
Fine.
You're better than that.
All right.
You're better than that, Darren.
I'm really not.
Okay, yeah, you do make a good point.
If anything, I'm worse.
So next, it was Strolling, which was four African-American friends and their adventures as they attempt to go vote.
I don't know if you follow me on Twitter, and I know you do, because I'm very popular. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of tweeted out saying, oh, was this inspired by this video? And, like, there was a video by The Whispers called, I think, like, Keep On Loving Me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the only reason I kind of thought that, because, like, I saw it went viral a little bit, because it's, like, one of those videos that's, like, kind of cheesy and corny, but the music is really funky and good, which is exactly how I like my music videos. And so, like, part of me thought that was inspired by that video. So, yeah, it starts off with our four black cast members, Punky, Ego, Keenan, and Chris. And they're kind of dressed in, like, 70s, late 70s, early 80s, you know, R&B funk style. And they're, you know, singing about how they're going to go stroll to the polls and vote. And then, of course, each polling place they go to is closed down. And John Mulaney says, yeah, we're closed here. You have to go down Route 110 to the nearest open one. And she's like, wait, the highway? And it shows them strolling on the highway to go vote. So this started off as like a fun little, you know, retro 80s R&B video. And it quickly becomes about voter suppression.
Yes. Yes. As things do.
As you do.
And, I mean, it had a good point to make, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it definitely made the point. I really dug it. So it's like basically the four of them trying to vote, and it's just becoming more difficult and tougher and tougher. At one point, they kind of, while they're walking on the highway to the voting poll, they're like, hey, while we're here, let's introduce ourselves to the good people. Like, I'm Crazy Legs Jimmy. I'm Rubber Band Ronnie. I'm Pity Pat Patricia. And then Ego says, I'm Michelle. Just Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she said that, like, it's been an issue before for some reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Michelle's been dealing with this for a long, long time.
Right.
You know, if you're hanging out with this crew, I can see how that would be a problem.
Right, so like they're singing and dancing to the polling place, they're exhausted. Of course, at one point they said the road's closed, so they have to go another way. Once they finally get to the polling line, they see there's like a 3-hour wait. There's one dude who looks like a militia type dude who's wearing like those wraparound Oakleys, which is like the official sunglasses of militia dudes, like those Bret the Hitman Hart sunglasses, and it's carrying
an
AK. And I mean, this sketch has. It almost gets a little too dark, but it never really gets there, which I kind of appreciated. And then, of course, it ends with them finally getting to the polling station, getting ready to vote. And then, John Mulaney says, oh, you guys have your masks on, do you? And they're like, ah, damn it, we don't have
masks. Yeah. That was cute. I mean, and it, like you said, it had a good point to make about how there are a lot of people in this country who've had a lot of trouble voting. They've had to wait online for hours and hours, or they're at risk of their votes not being counted or whatever. And it's just, it's screwed up, man.
Yeah. It just is weird how, like, it's 2020 and we have all these ways to do, like, you know, all these different ways to, like, spend our money. Like, we can order, like, a pizza or, like, order a car or service just, like, at the press of a button or on an app or something like that. But when it comes to, like, voting for our elected officials and, you know, propping up democracy, we still have to like do these archaic ways that, you know, that haven't changed since like the 70s. And it's like, it's a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just,
strolling.
I mean, I'm sure you've voted by this point, right?
The wife and I put our mail-in votes in the ballot box a few weeks ago.
Yeah. It was the same with me, and I didn't have much trouble. The place at my nearest ballot box was literally like 5 minutes away from my apartment, so it wasn't tough to find. It wasn't tough to do. It was a pretty easy process. They have received my ballot. I don't believe they count the ballots until Election Day here in New Jersey, if I remember correctly, but it has been received.
Right. So, and that's scrolling. I thought the ending of the scrolling sketch could have been a little stronger, but for the most part, I dug it.
Yeah, it could have. It ended on a little bit of an off note, but it was all right.
Yeah, and it's a catchy song, too, so I dig it.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it's just, you know, it's fun just seeing them in their all in their 70s funkadelic type gear, you know?
Dude, if I could, I would wear this now, like today.
You should. I think you could pull that off.
SNL wardrobe. If you have the outfit Chris Redd or Keenan was wearing, please let me know. I will send my measurements and you will make one SNL podcaster quite happy.
Yes. I will indicate which SNL outfits I feel like wearing a little later on in the show.
Maybe you'd like the Ichabod Crane outfit that John Mulaney was wearing in the Headless Horseman sketch.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty sharp. This was interesting because, like, I saw on John Mulaney's Instagram, he posted a photo of him and Pete Davidson, I think, together in their costumes for this sketch. And I was like, oh, they must be doing like a Hamilton sketch or something like that. But no, it was a Sleepy Hollow sketch with John Mulaney as Ichabod Crane. And then he, of course, encounters Beck Bennett as the Headless Horseman. And it quickly devolves into John Mulaney just asking him questions about, hey, do you ever use that detached head on yourself?
Yeah. Well, first thing, props to the props department, props to the props. Cause I mean, when we saw, Beck as the Headless Horseman, they worked overtime on that. Like there was like a life-size fake horse. Like his costume was like pretty impressive. I was like, damn, they went in on this. Like the set design and the props were just like, holy moly.
And I mean, I love the costume and props departments just going all out on such a silly sketch idea because it literally is just three people questioning the Headless Horseman about, hey, do you ever use your detached head for oral sex? And what would the logistics of that be?
Right, because when life gives you a severed head, you put the mouth on your dingus.
And I like sketches that just take an absurd idea and then they follow that weird, absurd logic to its illogical end. So
right. That's pretty much the sketch. It's just them asking, hey, do you use that on your weenus? Or and then Pete comes in and is like, hey, do you ever just like roll it into the ladies' room just for just juvenile stuff, which, you know, tickles my juvenile self.
And I like how they at one point they talked about eye contact and the two reasons for eye contact during a personal connection or a power trip.
And John says, like, yeah, for me it's power, totally power.
Yeah. And I was just like, you know, I'd never looked at it in that way before, but yeah, I guess that could be a thing.
And then I think then Mikey Day comes in saying, hey, I have another question, like, is that head dishwasher safe just for, like, cleanup and stuff?
Right. And then they talk about the logistics of cleanup. And also, I just love the concept that they have dishwashers in 1790.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, yeah.
You know, like, they're in 1790, they're in colonial times, but they're familiar with electric dishwashers.
Yeah, at that point, I don't think they're going for authenticity.
Probably not. And also at the end, we have a impressive severed Beck Bennett head. It looked like him. I think they actually took a mold of his face.
Yeah, they really went all out on this blowjob joke.
And thankfully, I was very happy that they did that.
Right. And of course, at the end, they say happy Hallows Eve from us at SNL, and especially to Lorne, who wrote this sketch.
Yes.
Which, that tracks.
Yep. Yep. Worked perfectly.
Yeah. Next up, we have another pre-tape, New York PSA. This is a really well shot kind of a PSA about, like, you know, about New York City. You know, we're staying strong. Thank you, New York City. It looks like the whole thing was shot in Central Park.
Yeah.
We've been, you know, talking about as people talking to the camera, giving talking heads like Ego and Chris Redd and Heidi saying, you know, we've gone through a tough summer, but we always get through it. We stay strong. And it just shows like the people in the park, you know, jogging, you know, interacting with one another, you know, saying thank you to the camera. And throughout all this in the background, we see like Kate dressed as an old woman kind of doing like these weird dance moves. And like lunges and like kind of like Tai Chi moves, but no one said anything about it. But she's just in the background. You see her doing it, and then you know,
and she's topless for a fair amount of the time.
Yes, of course, it's
topless with the, you know, it blurred, of course, around her chestal area.
Yes, chestal. Yes, for the fellas, yeah. And of course, it has them thanking people, say thank you, nurses, thanks for essential workers, thanks, you know, for. You know, thanks. Come visit our museums and landmarks, and you know, we're all coming back to normal. Especially this, you know, this dancing older, and especially this dancing older woman who's not homeless, but she's just kind of quirky. You know, she lives been living in a rent-controlled apartment since she was 16, which could have been 30 years ago or 100 years ago.
Yeah, and she lives on a 44th floor walk-up, so when she's out, she is out.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, so, and it's just basically kind of Kate being Kate, just goofing around outside, being all silly and cute, and performing her one-woman version of The Lion King in the park, holding up a chihuahua or a type of dog.
Yeah, yeah, this was all right. This was cute.
Yeah, this is okay. I think it was, like, one of the sketches that's kind of very specific to New York. Like, if you're not, you know, in the tri-state area, you can see the sketch and be like, I don't quite get it. But if you're here, it hits a little bit harder. You're like, oh yeah, I kind of know people like that, or I've seen people like that in the park. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, it kind of read pretty authentic too. I thought they were really saying, they probably really were saying, you know, thank you to all the essential workers and nurses and everything like that to helping New York be great again. And you know, then they also threw in you get an old lady, Kate McKinnon topless too.
Yep.
But yeah, I thought the sketch was okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. All right. So next up, we got a musical guest, The Strokes. We got
The Strokes. I have heard of them.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a new album out that came out in April called The New Abnormal. They were supposed to be on SNL back in April when their album came out, but the little thing called the Rona derailed that. So they were last night's episode, and they did two songs, one called The Adults Are Talking, and another one called Bad Decisions.
Yeah, I mean, this, really enjoyed them. I always liked the Strokes. They're just a great rock band. They were just fun. I thought it was interesting in the first number, they had a giant Obey sign behind them. It felt very They Live. All that was missing was Keith David just fighting with Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, nice.
For 10 minutes or however long the fight is in that movie. It's an absurdly long fight in that movie.
I mean, this is going to sound terrible. I have not seen They Live, but I heard enough about it to get that reference you just made.
I mean, I have not seen They Live all the way through. I've seen the important bits of They Live.
The what?
Yeah. I mean, Rowdy Roddy Piper, he walks into a bank at one point, and he says, I am here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I am all out of bubblegum. And he has a fight with Keith David that is, I think, literally 8 or 10 minutes. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. By itself, just Google They Live fight and you will not be sorry.
All right.
But it was basically like space aliens are trying to take over the planet, but they're trying to do it in a subtle way. Like they're because they're disguising themselves as politicians and influencers and stuff like that. And you can't see who they really are unless you put on these special sunglasses. And when you put on these special sunglasses, then you see them as these evil skull alien things. And you see all the subliminal messages in their posters, like obey and do not question authority and stuff like that. And Rowdy Roddy Piper is like the one guy who knows the truth. And he's trying to get Keith David to put on the sunglasses, and Keith David doesn't want to put on the sunglasses, so they have a big fight. And then ultimately he puts on the sunglasses, and he's like, oh, you were right all along, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
So Keith David rather fight for 8 minutes than put on a pair of sunglasses.
Yes, yes.
All right.
He was very resistant. I don't know if they just did not fit in with his personal style or... Yeah, maybe he was traumatized by sunglasses at some point in his youth. I don't know. I don't know if the movie delves into it. This is why I need to see the entire film.
I can't put this on. Sunglasses killed my father.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I need to find out if these questions are answered. But anyway, that's what the giant obey sign behind the Strokes reminded me of.
Wow, that was quite a tangent. All right.
Yeah, and, yeah. We went on a journey.
We went on a journey, and I loved it. I was there for every step of the way.
That's right. That's right. And in the second number, the lead singer of the Strokes, he was dressed like John Bender from The Breakfast Club. So that was fun.
I did notice that. Like, I mean, the song has a very 80s vibe. Like, if you listen to like the opening guitar riff, it has like that kind of 80s college radio jangly guitar sound a little bit. Like, mm-hmm, it kind of reminded me kind of something from maybe the Smiths or Joy Division or even like Roxy Music. But according to people online, a lot of people are saying that opening riff sounds a lot like I Melt With You by Modern English.
Okay, and yeah, all right.
And they say the chorus sounds a lot like Dancing With Myself, the Billy Idol song, which I can hear it now a little
bit. Okay, I'm going to listen to that number again with those in mind.
Right, right. But, yeah, I mean...
I like both those songs, so... Yeah. Always fun to see the Strokes. When I was very excited when they announced that the Strokes were going to be the musical guest, I was like, I am going to enjoy that, and I did.
Yeah, I dug it. I'm not a huge Strokes fan, but I do like some of their stuff here and there. So yeah, I thought both of these performances were like, oh, I dig it. I dig your groovy tunes there, Daddy-O.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So next, we got, after the musical guest, this is a curveball, Weekend Update with Colin Jost and Michael Che.
Hey. Oh, boy. All right. Yeah, we got some Jost jokes, got some Che chuckles. Mm-hmm. We got Colin Jost wearing a wedding ring. His marriage to ScarJo or ScarJost, as they are now known as, is official.
Now, should it be ScarJost or should it be Jost Hansen? I like Jost Hansen.
Dude, that's not. Stop trying to make Jost Hansen a thing. It's not a thing. It sounds clumsy. It's not. It don't roll off the tongue. It's ScarJost. That's where we're going.
ScarJost. Okay.
Hey, I mean, look, if I could be in the wrong, I think ScarJost sounds better. Guys, tweet at us. Let us know if Jost Hansen has some legs. I'm gonna bet no. But like, I could be wrong.
Wow. Okay. All right. Now we know where you stand.
It's tough love, John. I do it because I like it.
All right. I mean, I'm not entirely opposed to ScarJost. It's but I don't know. Jost Hansen has a certain appeal for me.
All right. I mean, yeah, I guess.
Wow. Okay.
No. Hey, man. Come on. Don't feel like that.
So anyway, Jost had a joke because Trump he made the absurd statement during one of his rallies this week. He said that doctors get more money if someone dies from COVID, which as with most things that President Trump says, not true.
What?
So not true.
really?
But Jost had a good joke. He said, you know, hey, do you think Trump recovered so he wouldn't have to pay his doctors? Which, yeah, I like that. I thought Jost was pretty good this week. I thought he had some good jokes.
Right. I mean, I know we're this podcast, usually we're always, you know, praising Che because, you know, Che's awesome. But like, we'll give Jost his due when he comes through with a good one now or then. And yeah, I dug that joke.
Yeah. I thought he was in good form this week. You know, I think, you know, any week you marry Scarlett Johansson, that's a pretty good week for you. Mm-hmm. So he was probably in a good mood, and he wrote some good material.
Right. Che had some jokes about how, you know, he had to tell people that rappers are not black leaders and how politicians always do this. They always reach out to, you know, the rappers to get the endorsement of black people. And it's like, no, they're not our leaders. They always do this to black people. You never see. They never do this to white people. You never see them talking like Gilbert Gottfried about what they should do in Israel, which I thought was a pretty fun joke.
Which I wouldn't mind seeing, quite frankly. I would enjoy that.
We need to send in the troops.
Yes. Yes.
Didn't know I had a Gilbert in me, did you?
No, I did not. I did not. That came out of left field, but it was a pleasant surprise. But yeah, I did like the take of, you know, rappers are not black leaders.
Yeah. I remember seeing online that, like, actually, I mean, I think maybe Che got that idea because I remember seeing, like, some old footage online somewhere about Malcolm X saying that exact same thing about, like, he was being
interviewed. About rappers not being black leaders?
Not rappers, but like.
Wow, that's pretty perceptive because he like died in like 1968 or something, didn't he?
He could see the future. He was ahead of his time.
Okay.
But no, like Malcolm X, he was on some TV show being interviewed, and he was saying that sort of exact same thing about how like white politicians always go to like entertainers and you know, all these, you know, quote unquote false leaders for approval from the black. For the black audience, and like, you know, how that's always messed up, how you never see, you know, white politicians do that to white people. Like he said it, I remember him saying it like years ago. I'll see if I can find it. Maybe okay. I'll tweet it out. But he said something like that back in the 60s, which I thought was pretty interesting because it's still.
By the way, I have to correct what I said a second ago. Malcolm X actually died in 1965, not 1968. I was mixing it up because, you know, an assassination in the 60s. Generally, you're right if you guess 1968.
Yeah, if you're just rolling the dice.
Yeah.
68 was a hot year for that.
Big year for assassinations. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, it was all the rage.
There was a big trend in the late 60s.
Right. Yeah, remember that? Remember those days?
Yeah.
It was the Beatles, assassinations, bell bottoms. Yep. Okay.
That was the 60s. Jay, he also had a great line where he just says to Colin, "Hey, you just married Scarlett Johansson. I just bought an electric bike. We're both doing equally great."
Yeah. Like he said, like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen after the next election. I mean, I may never see you again, Joe. We may both get drafted in the race war.
Yeah. Which, that could happen. I mean, we could get drafted into the race war, Darren.
I think we've aged out, and that's our only saving grace.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we're
I'd be like, I'd love to do it, but my knees, I got a bad back, my sciatica.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's good. I don't feel like I would do well in a race war.
Yeah. I can't be out there in the front lines. Maybe I'd work the office like behind a desk or something.
Yeah. I am not in shape for a race war. I did not maintain enough to participate in a race war.
I could do the paperwork. I'll do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Sure. I'll make some calls. I'm good on the phones. I could do some recruiting. I could sign some people up.
I can collate. I could do mm-hmm. that. You know.
Yeah. Stapling. I'm good at stapling.
Yeah.
Hole punching.
I mean, yeah. I got, you know, Microsoft Word. I'm good at. Excel. I can do that.
Yeah. We could. You know, make some spreadsheets.
Yeah. So like the. I think that's where we're most. So basically, we're, you know, if the leaders of the race war are listening right now, that's where we shine, just behind the scenes,
yeah,
behind the desk, you know, 9 to 5 type of thing.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, I'm assuming we'd have to be on different sides of the race war, so
yeah,
I guess our office skills would counteract each other.
Yeah, that tug of war during the company picnic is going to be awkward. I could see that.
Yeah, yeah, that's.
Be like, yeah. Oh, hey, man, good to see you.
Hey, what's going on? How's your side doing?
Yeah, we're all right. We're good. We're doing good. Yeah. Hey, remember we used to do that podcast? That was crazy times. That's
fun. That's not. Are we still doing the potato sack race later on? No. Oh. Okay. Oh, because of the race war. Okay. Yeah. No. I get it. Yeah.
I got a thing, but you know, it's good seeing you. Good seeing you.
Yeah. No. This was fun. We should get together again sometime.
Yeah. No. Hit me up on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll do.
All right. Wow. And scene. Okay. Where the hell were we? Shit.
That was us in the post-racial society, where we're having company picnics, even though there's been a race war.
Right. You know, to boost morale. You got to pick up the troops, you know.
Right. Yep. Next, we had Kyle Mooney appearing as Baby Yoda because The Mandalorian just came back for its second season on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised they brought this back because I remember the first time they did it, it was, I don't know, Kyle Mooney as Baby Yoda is pretty disturbing to look at. And I didn't think he did well enough to warrant him making a comeback, but they brought him back and he's still disturbing to look at. It kind of reminds me of that, what's his face? That character in Eraserhead. But yeah, Kyle Mooney is kind of taking Baby Yoda and making him like a social media influencer. So he's going that route. And I don't know. This one really didn't hit for me.
It was all right. I was really impressed by the makeup. This is the type of character I could see Adam Sandberg doing back in the day, you know?
Oh yeah, I could see that.
It seemed like it was in Sandberg's kind of wheelhouse. It was all right.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't write that much about it. I was like, meh. That's all I wrote.
Yeah. And luckily, I know they had a joke about Ron Jeremy facing 300 years in prison.
Yes.
Who could have seen that coming?
Who knew?
Yeah, I mean, who knew that Ron Jeremy was such a creepy dude?
I know. He seemed like just a normal, straight-laced guy all those years. And comes to finds out, he's a bit of a creeper.
Yeah.
So I think Che said, yeah, it looks like he may be going away to jail for 300 years. But if there's anyone that could last that long, it's Ron. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good joke. Pretty solid joke.
Che also had another joke that I kind of like, which is a pretty dark joke, where he's talking about how a cop in New York was suspended after he uses his loudspeaker to yell Trump 2020 in Brooklyn. Because as NYPD guidelines dictate, cops can only whisper Trump 2020 to someone as they choke them out.
And that is a dark joke. That is a dark joke.
Yeah, like
a good joke though.
Yeah, as he said that, the audience was like groaning, and Che, you know, in true Che fashion, was like, "Hey, I thought that was a fun one."
Yeah, that was great. I love that. I mean, Che just like he'll stand by the material that he believes in, even if it doesn't go over with the audience. I love that.
Yeah.
And then lastly, they had a joke about how on the edge of COVID for Halloween, they've developed a robot that passes out candy. It's called the Sex Offender Loophole 3000.
Wow.
Which, I enjoyed just because it reminded me of that that great old sketch with the sex offender introducing himself around the neighborhood on Halloween.
Oh, that's a great one. The one with Will Forte and John Hamm.
Yeah. I mean, that's terrific. That was an instant classic, I thought. You know, like, hi, I'm a registered sex offender for Halloween.
That's one of those sketches that it could go very wrong very quickly. It's like a very, slim, tightrope to walk. But I think I think the way Forte played that, like, so cartoonishly and over the top, made it okay to laugh at. I'm like,
and also, he's such a likable guy in his own right, that kind of took the sting out of it. If he had any real creepiness in him, I don't think the sketch would work.
Right. Like, if you play it too creepy, it'll turn people off. But so, like, the fact that, like, Forte is able to kind of pull it back and make it more goofy, goofy, cartoony type of person, that made it okay. It was, it's a very slim needle to thread there.
After that, I thought Weekend Update, it just ended kind of abruptly. I guess because I'm very conditioned to them having like two people come on in Weekend Update, and the only person they had come on was Baby Yoda. So it just seemed short. I guess they need more space for the other sketches.
Yeah, especially this next sketch, the New York musical sketch. Because this one was actually longer than the cold open.
But rightfully so. It's now become an expected part of when John Mulaney hosts, since Diner Lobster was such a cult hit. Now he does a big musical number about something, picking up something creepy in some sort of store.
Right. So the first time he did it was John Mulaney in a diner, and of course it had Chris Redd and Pete as two customers, and Pete wanted to order the lobster in a diner, and of course set the lobster diner sketch in motion, which is a big musical. Mm-hmm. So the second time they did it, it was, what was it? The Bodega Cat. It was Chris and Pete again. Pete wanted to use the bathroom in the bodega, which of course, no, you never do. I mean, good God. Of course, that set the Bodega Cat musical into motion, which was like even bigger than the diner lobster.
We had dancing cockroaches, I remember.
Yeah, we had like a huge toilet that like floated in the air.
Yeah, and then next we had, last time John Mulaney hosted, we did Airport Sushi, which I remember having a cameo from Jake Gyllenhaal for some reason.
Jake Gyllenhaal and David Byrne.
Yes.
Way back in February, I believe.
Yeah, oh, remember those innocent times. So this time around, Pete Davidson, he's in a New York Big Nick souvenirs shop, and he wants to buy a pair of I Heart New York underwear. In Times Square. And we have Keenan as a Times Square minion. We have all the Times Square mascots. We had Melissa as a Minnie Mouse. We had, who else did we have? We had an Elmo there. I think it was Alex Moffat as Elmo.
We had Lauren Holt, new cast member, as Elsa.
Yes.
And Bone as Batman. And they were sort of singing to the tune of Luck Be a Lady Tonight.
Yes, from Guys and Dolls. This is one of those things that really shows John Mulaney's affection for musical theater.
Yeah. If you're like a theater kid, this sketch is for you.
It is. I liked Pete's line. He says, like, hey, I love New York, and I want my modest bulge to show that.
That one got a laugh out of me, too. I was like...
It got a laugh out of Pete Davidson right before he said it. Let's see. We also had, they did one from A Chorus Line. We had Kate McKinnon showing up as Shrimp Louie, the Bubba Gump shrimp, the Bubba Gump company shrimp mascot. And she did a number called Where Are the Crowds to the tune of Send in the Clowns.
Right.
We had Beck Bennett as the Diddler on the Roof.
Right, who's like the creepy dude on the roof who stares at people with his pants down.
Yeah, with binoculars. I mean, he keeps his distance.
Yeah, he's not a weirdo.
No, yeah. He's using technology.
Exactly. Then we had Maya Rudolph come out as the Statue of Liberty singing I'm Still Here. I'm not sure what that was in the tune of.
It's a song called I'm Still Here from Follies.
Ah, see, you're Mr. Broadway. You're the go-to guy.
Well, no, I mean, somebody on YouTube, like, it did it. I recognized most of the songs. That was one I didn't quite recognize. And we had Chloe as a woman with visible COVID. She sang a song called Super Spreader to the tune of Hey Big Spender from Sweet Charity.
Right. It's a woman from Westchester, and she came down with, like, a Zabar's bag, which is a very New York thing. Like, if mm-hmm. Zabar's is, like, a very Upper West Side Manhattan, like, very specific thing.
Yeah. And then lastly, we had the big finale number. They did 3 days more, just talking about how it's 3 days away from the election. And that was to the tune of One More Day from Les Mis.
Right. So, again, a very New York-centric sketch. I remember when Maya was singing as the Statue of Liberty, she was mentioning other things very New York, like Andy Warhol, the 86 Mets, CBGBs. And then it kind of took this very sort of sentimental tone towards the end, where they're talking about how, you know, New York is like this disdained pair of underwear. You know, remember the whole thing that started this sketch.
Yes.
And talking about how, you know, it's dirty, but it is resilient and it will come back. So, like, the whole sketch kind of came, you know, sort of had this very, you know, New York is still New York. It's not dead. We're still here. We're still strong type of vibe. And you know, 3 days till the election, like kind of like a very big rallying the troops type of vibe, which I appreciated.
Yeah. That was fun. I mean, my one criticism, I miss Cecily in it. You know, it's just a shame to do such a theater geek thing and not have Cecily Strong in it.
Yeah, that's a bummer. But she's off doing her own show in Vancouver. She's singing in her show right now. And but I did like how they gave Melissa Villaseñor like a little bit of a solo too, because like I keep saying mm-hmm. they should have Melissa sing more, and they had it. Boom.
So, they did. Yeah, I mean, it is nice. Yeah, I mean, her absence, it does create more opportunities for other people who are trying to get the airtime. So,
right.
But you know, I still miss the Cecily Strong. I can't help it.
I mean, who doesn't? She's the best.
She's a delight.
She's all things to all people.
She is.
She's the best around.
Nothing wrong with her. Keep her down.
She's the best. I forget the rest.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah,
it just keeps going. You're the best around.
Yeah. Oh, that how it goes. It's just
It keeps doing that a lot, I think.
I see. All right. Well,
I don't know. I still have to watch Cobra Kai. So.
Wow. Oh, dude, check it out. It is chef's kisses. I dug it.
So next we had another Uncle meme. This was a callback to one that they did on John Mulaney's third show, I believe, where he's sort of this hapless uncle and his nephew keeps making memes about him.
Right. And you know, this is pretty much a retread of the meme sketch that John Mulaney did back in February. Even John Mulaney says it, you can even hear again, like he knows it's just the same thing over. He says, like, yeah, it's my cousin made memes about me again, and I'm angry again.
Yeah, it was just like a picture, like a selfie taken of John Mulaney in the bathroom for his dating profile, and it's captioned, swipe right if you want bad sex. And then also, when you in a sex cult, but you still a virgin. This was just kind of a quick thing. It was just 3 minutes. But it was cute.
Yeah, I kind of felt like this is just filler. It seemed like as the because like after the Strokes performed Bad Decisions, they had like a little bit of time left. Mm-hmm. So that they just went ahead and like, all right, put this on type of thing. And it just kind of felt like filler to me. Just they were kind of going through the same motions. And it even kind of ended a little weirder about how the cousin Pete was saying like, hey, this picture that I've been making memes of you for. You put it on this site for like only for women in prison between the ages of 18 and 25. So it kind of took this turn mm-hmm. where like, John Mulaney's character seemed like the victim, but then it took this turn as to making him kind of like the creepy uncle, just wanting to creep on young prison ladies. And even John says, well, yeah, they're in prison and they're young. It's easier for me to control them type of thing. Well, I was like, wow, that's a left turn.
It took a turn. It took a turn. Yeah.
It's a choice.
Choice. And after this, I was actually literally surprised that the show came to an end. I mean, I should have been expecting it after the second musical number, but I literally wrote in my notes, holy crap, it's one already? So this show just, it really passed the time agreeably, and it just flew by for me.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I thought this was a pretty good show. Like, there wasn't much I disliked about it. You know, I wasn't too crazy about Baby Yoda and the last sketch, the Uncle Meme sketch. But other than that, everything worked for me. It moved at a good pace the whole show. There was a good rhythm. The energy was up.
Yeah.
I say this episode was a home run.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought this was a really solid show. I think definitely best of the season so far. I mean, John Mulaney, he always ups their game whenever he comes in to host. So, I mean, he's become one of those people like Steve Martin or Justin Timberlake. You see that they're hosting, you're like, oh, that's going to be a good show.
Yeah.
There's going to be something that's good in that. We're just guaranteed to get some great sketches.
Yeah. So, I mean, usually when you have somebody who knows how SNL works and how it runs, like odds are you're going to get a good show. Like it's pretty much in the bag.
And when it's like such a gifted comedian as John Mulaney, I mean, it's going to be great.
Absolutely.
We should also mention a Cut for Time sketch that they put up on YouTube called Democracy PSA. Again, just another thing about the general anxiousness and nervousness about the election day on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically kind of a retelling of that old PSA they did a while ago about how, you know, the Democrats are hopeful this time that things are going to go okay, but like they're also extremely nervous because they know kind of how, like, after 2016, like, we don't know how this country works. We don't know how this country works anymore. It's like anything's up for grabs. So it's like basically like it shows like Kate in a pharmacy, you know, being hopeful, saying, yeah, I think we got this in the bag. You know, like, what's the worst that can happen? And then, of course, it shows her stealing all the Plan B from the pharmacy as she hops over the pharmacy counter. We see Beck Bennett stocking his fallout shelter with stuff. We see Heidi trying to make a break for it to Canada. Kyle Mooney buying a crossbow and saying to the cashier, "Hey, this is easy to use, right?" So it's basically that. It hits on the same beats of like how we're optimistic about this election. We think it's going to go our way. By the same time, we are nervous as hell.
Yep. I mean, that's pretty much where we are.
Yes. Like, we think this is going to go okay. The midterm ad from a year ago. I believe it was during the Jonah Hill episode from season 44.
That would be 2 years ago, but yes.
Okay. Then there I go. I don't know what I'm talking about. But it does kind of hit on maybe the way I'm feeling, the way most Democrats are feeling, where we're hopeful, the fact that we had record number turnouts, that's a good sign. The fact that people don't hate Joe Biden as much as they hate Hillary is a good sign.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we just know, if 2020 has taught us anything, to expect the unexpected.
And expect the worst.
Yeah, that too. So, you know, just stock up on liquor and firearms, because we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, because it's likely going to happen. And yeah, who knows when that race war is going to start.
Who knows? I'll see you at the picnic.
I'm preparing my resume right now. So.
Yes, absolutely. You know, just typing up on monster.com or Career Builder, just be like, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm trying to bring up the comedy here, but I'm having a hard time doing that, boss.
But, I mean, like we said, it was a good show, very solid show. It was nice, you know, nice to have some laughs in these trying times. And next week, I think we've got a good chance for a good show, too, because next week they announced during the show, next week we're going to have Dave Chappelle.
Yes, the mighty Chappelle, the man who did the first show after the 2016 election.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to do the first show after the 2020 election. So
I like that. That has a nice sort of symmetry to it. Because I remember his monologue after Trump's election, when a lot of people were feeling very shell shocked by that. And he was pretty open minded about it. I remember him saying like, "Hey, let's give Trump a chance." And then like when he came back to the show later, he was like, "No, fuck that guy."
I think people still kind of ride him for that, saying, "Oh, let's give him a chance." I think he just said that in the moment because he knew so many people were, you know, bummed out and shell-shocked and depressed about what had happened.
Yeah.
So, what's he going to say? He has to say something to kind of boost morale a little bit. He can't just say, this sucks. It's, you know, America's over. It's doomed. Just fuck it all.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And now, are you ready to laugh?
Yeah, exactly. He can't say something. He had to say something in that moment.
Yeah. And you got to speak to the moment in time, the moment that the country is going through. And I feel like he did a decent job of that. And they had that classic sketch of just all the, all the liberals watching the election returns, where Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock are like, "Oh, really? America's racist? We had no idea."
I feel like they might revisit that. You know,
I feel like they've got to. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I, you know, it's going to be interesting. Well, I mean, the election's on Tuesday, and I mean, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows if it will, if the votes will be skewing one way or another enough for them to even declare a winner. I mean, who knows? We're just living through such unprecedented times. But yeah,
I mean, I can see Chris Rock coming back for like a cameo for this.
Well, Chris Rock actually retweeted and said, like, can't wait. So I feel like we've got a better than even chance of Chris Rock coming back and making a cameo.
I'm far out. I'm with you.
You know, I mean, he and Chappelle, they seem to be buddies.
They're homies, as the kids say. Yeah.
And I also thought it was interesting. They didn't announce a musical guest, so I'm kind of hoping that Dave Chappelle will also be the musical guest.
Oh, I think he's going to bring out his funky bass and slap some groovy tunes.
Yeah, yeah, he'll just go out and do you know, I'm going to pee on it, and then some other number from Chappelle's show.
Drip, drip, drip. I could see that. You get out John Mayer. That's a terrible
show, right?
Sorry? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I mean, that's one to look forward to. That's going to be the sixth show of the season, and then after that, they are finally taking a break, right?
Right. After that, I mean, I got to imagine they got to take a break for at least 2 weeks after this. Like, I can't see them going away for any time shorter than that.
Yeah. I mean, we need some recharging time for the cast and crew. But they've had a pretty good average over the last few weeks of in this season, in the run up to the election. So.
Yeah, for the most part, it's been pretty solid. Like, I mean, like a few episodes I haven't quite warmed up to, I thought were, you know, weren't that great. But I mean, this episode, the Bill Burr episode, Issa Rae, we'd even okay. So, you know, they average a pretty solid episode so far.
Basically everything except Adele.
Yeah, and Chris Rock. Chris Rock was like little wobbly. But
I remember that being okay.
That's all right.
But yeah, I didn't refresh my memory on that, but yeah, I remember that being okay.
Yeah, that's all right. But it was also the first time them doing an episode, you know, during these COVID times. So, like, I think now they kind of got the rhythm of it a little bit more. And
yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't even really think about the COVID concerns. It just feels like a normal episode of the show now. So
yeah,
I feel like they've gone over that hurdle very well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So, I hope everybody's staying safe and all that, but I feel like they're handling it really, really well.
Yeah, guys, stay safe, stay quarantined and all that jazz. Wear a mask for Pete's sake. Don't be a hero. Don't be a schmuck. Just wear a mask, wash your hands, and all that jazz.
Yeah, and please vote again. If you're listening to this on Monday or Tuesday, please vote.
Oh, for the love of Pete, please vote. My God, what else you got to do? What, are you going to watch British Bake Off again for the umpteenth time?
Just DVR it. It'll be there. It'll be there.
It'll be there when you get back, you Schmendrick. Go vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm using all these Yiddish words all of a sudden. It's just...
I don't know, but I'm enjoying it. I'm here for it.
Speaking of here for it, we should maybe give a little shout out to our Patreon, too.
Oh, yes. Yes. We got a reminder from... our super producer, Frank Blowey, he said, hey, mention that there's going to be bonus content on the Patreon coming soon. So there's going to be bonus content coming on the Patreon soon. And it's patreon.com/nonpro.
Absolutely. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter at SNL Nerds Show. Mm-hmm. Tweet at us. Tweet us your thoughts and your feelings. What's going through your head? What's in your heart? What's in your soul? Just let us know. And, as always, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Darren Credible. That's D-A-R-I-N Credible.
Yes, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, although I don't know why, at Trumbull Comic, T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L, and the word comic. And I just want to give a shout-out to a new Twitter follower that we got this week, and their name really amused me. They have their I'm assuming this is just a Halloween name, but they call themselves Tits Out for David Pumpkins, and that amused me. So shout out to you, Tits Out for David Pumpkins.
Yeah. Hey, that's another thing. We didn't see a David Pumpkins reference in this episode. That was interesting.
Yeah, no. I think a little David Pumpkins goes a long way.
I hear you. It's, yeah. Just one little a dash of pumpkins.
And, yeah.
And also, shout out to the people at the SNL Stats. I was on the SNL Stats podcast a week ago talking about the Adele episode. So you can check that out. Thanks to John and all the folks at the SNL stats.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that. You didn't tell me you were doing that show again. I was like, oh, I guess this is a thing that Darren does now. He's just on another podcast and not telling me about it. Okay.
I genuinely forgot that I was supposed to do that. I was like, oh, yeah, I did on Monday. So it's nothing personal. I'm just, yeah, just spreading my wings and checking out other podcasts. That's all. We never said we were exclusive. So, hey, man, I'm just saying.
This is how I find out. It's not so much the fact that you did it. The fact that you were so public about it. I mean, that's embarrassing for me.
You embarrassed me in front of my friends.
Yeah, that's right. I know we're going through a rough patch, but we'll work through this.
That's right.
We'll work through this.
We are in counseling and, yeah, that's all. I like everybody to respect me and my family's privacy at this time.
Yes. Yes. Please do. Oh, and I get, even though we mentioned it during Weekend Update, we should give it an official congratulations to Colin Jost and Scarlett Johansson for getting married.
Hey, Mazel Tov.
Mazel Tov. Yay. We're stepping on that glass and stuff.
L'chaim.
Yeah. So and hey, good on you for keeping it so secret.
Wait,
well
what?
Done.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They kept that on the low.
Well, I mean, you know, it's got to be tough when you're a celebrity to try and plan that out and not have it be raided and ruined by the paparazzi. And I imagine if after this many years of being famous, Scarlett Johansson's gotten pretty good at that, and Colin Jost has probably picked up a fair amount the last few years.
It's very true. But, yeah, I mean, even though we give Jost a lot of guff here on the SNL Nerds, we wish him.
We do. That was our wedding present for him. We sent him some guff.
Yes, that's right. Some all organic, homegrown guff.
That's right. Yeah, we farm guff in our spare time.
That's right. Fresh off the farm, the free range, yeah. Cage free guff.
We also gave him a little what for. We sent that along.
And yes, a little what have you and whatnot as well.
Yes, yes. So I hope they enjoy that.
Oh boy. And that's our podcast, guys. Thanks again for listening. And I guess that's about it. John, you got any closing words? Any final thoughts?
I just hope it doesn't all come to an end.
Yes, I hope we can do this podcast again. Like I wanna live, damn it. I wanna live.
Can't take another 4 years, dude.
Yeah. Depending on what happens Tuesday, this podcast will have a very different tone, so
fingers crossed, holding on for dear life, but, I mean, yeah, take care of yourselves, you know, maintain your sanity however you can.
Say your prayers, eat your vitamins.
Yeah.
Hold your loved ones tight, and until then...
Until then, I'm going to be holding my breath.
Yeah. Oh boy, don't do that, you're going to pass out.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Okay. So, until next week, you guys, stay safe, be well, and nerds out.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.